everybody. We stay in the cloud native world, but with a different project than Seth. Always fun, so round of applause.
Hello everyone, I'm Kabathis Konstantinos, and today I'm going to show you a work done by me and my colleagues in 4th Crete in Greece. It's called Optimizing Longhorn for High-Performance Hardware. Okay, so first of all, I think most of you know about Kubernetes, but I have an introduction slide. Most of the production nowadays comes from containers, so you make a container and you ship it, you deploy things. Most of the job is on the cloud. So you have Kubernetes for this, orchestrating your containers. It's kind of like a cloud operating system. It does the resource management, the working, and manages any failures done. So you just describe what you want. There's an abstraction based on primitives and conventions. You describe what do you want from the hardware perspective, and you get it. You get a managed platform for deployment and development. So you can have Kubernetes on local, on-prem, or on cloud. And because of this, there are a lot of extension and third-party tools implemented. Okay, in this presentation, we'll talk about storage. So the basic component for Kubernetes is the volume object. They have a standard API. There are storage classes. You have persistent volume claims and persistent volumes. You do a request using persistent volume claim, and the persistent volume is the actual storage. You can implement the storage class, and it's how you will get the actual storage. Okay, because there are a lot of storage interfaces, there are a lot of implementations done in the last years. So there are container storage interface. It's an API, an interface, in order for you to use your custom storage offering. You can do add or remove your storage. You can implement your own lifecycle for the volume, and you can do snapshots and cloning. There are a lot of implementations, and one of those is Longhorn. Longhorn is an open source project, part of the CNCF. It's an incubating project. It implements a complete software-defined storage engine. In comparison with other storage solutions, it's complete. It means that it's not relied on any other third-party tools and providers, and it also have advanced features like snapshots and backups. Their architecture is really modular. You can see here in the figure the overview of the architecture. You have the CSI plugin which communicates with Kubernetes, and UI for the user. You can describe from the UI what volume you need and what node do you want it to, and the manager gives to you. And the actual data path, the actual data I/O path is done in the engine, where you have the controller. When you need a volume, you issue a request, and the controller runs along with the node you want the volume in. And there are replicas running in or the same node or other nodes. They communicate through TCP protocol. The replica is where the actual I/O is happening, and they use SSDs or whatever actual storage device you want. So engine is the core of the implementation. It's where the actual work happens. That's where the main focus of our work is. Each volume is implemented by only one controller. So each volume has one controller, and you can attach as many replicas as you want. Okay, so let's see how about the performance of the system. Nowadays, most of the people use public clouds like AWS or Azure to run Kubernetes, and in these the performance there is okay, because there are limitations in AWS. Around 40K IOPS, you need to pay a lot more in order to not have that limitation. But when you have on-prem, where there's high-speed networks and NVMe, and you have a better computer, you're limited to about 50K, 25K read-write IOPS, where your actual device supports 400K IOPS. So in order to find the bottlenecks and what we can do about them, we isolated the engine. We split it into three basic parts, the front-end, the controller, and the replica, and we found there are three major bottlenecks. From the front-end perspective, they use the iSCSI implementation. It's an interface for the kernel to expose a block device in the user and connect the I/O path and redirect it to your application. But it's actually really slow. The controller has to forward all the requests in the replica, and they use their own communication protocol that serializes all the operations, and that's a big bottleneck too. And at the bottom part of the engine, the actual replica, where the actual read-write happens, they use a sparse file implementation where writes have a very limited performance, especially when using multiple snapshots. Okay, so what we can do about it? We explore our alternatives, and we found that in the front-end part, we can use UBLK. It's a new interface based on IOURing, which is available in the latest Linux kernel, but it's in the new Ubuntu too. In the controller part, we found what's the problem, and we can re-implement the logic of the communication. In the replica part, we implement a different storage mechanism. We call it Direct Block Store. It's a custom direct disk storage layer. Okay, so let's see part by part what are the improvements. So for UBLK, UBLK consists of two components, major components. The UBLK driver, which is in the kernel. You can issue a request there in order to get a block device, to expose a block device in the user space. There is the UBLK SRV, which is in the user space and implements their I/O. It redirects the data wherever you want. You can write a custom driver in order to get it to done what you want. You can either implement to be null loop. You can connect to the loop devices, or you can implement it to send the data to the Longhorn engine. Which is very modular. You can fill some functions and it will work. And it can be used for I/O and admin tasks, like add, remove the devices. And why is it that fast? It's based on the IOURing, which is a Linux kernel system call interface. It supports asynchronous operations. It's based on the logic of the two circular buffers. The one is for the request and one is for replies. The applications and the kernel can communicate through them without actual system calls. And that means you can do batching and less memory copies. And that's why it's really fast. You will see the numbers in a minute. Okay, for the second part of the engine, the controller replica communication, in the top part of the figure you can see the original implementation. For every request, a Golang thread builds a request, uses a request channel, and the problem is that here the loop thread is just a single thread. A single thread running and serving every request. So they use a message map to store all the requests in order to identify which one is the one coming in the response. And that operation is synchronous, meaning you have a drop of performance because of the single loop thread. Then you forward the message to a right thread, and the right thread issues the request in the replica and waiting for the reply. In our approach, we saw that synchronous operations are not good, so we used an ID channel in the message array. When a request is built, you get an ID from a Golang channel, and you use it as an index in this message array. That way, Golang channels assure you that you don't have concurrent. No, you can have concurrent read-write in the array using the index, and that way every request issuing to the right thread immediately, not waiting for the loop thread, each iteration of the loop thread. Okay, in the last part of the engine, we have the direct block store, or DBS for short. It can be used in a file or directly in the device. It supports multiple volumes, snapshots per volume. It has an extensive API. You can use it from CLI or call the API in your code. The main point of it is it divides the storage in four regions. It's the super block, the volume and snapshot metadata, the extent metadata, and the user data. It's really lightweight and fast. And the extent maps are kept in memory. As you can see, it's around 40 megabytes for 1 terabyte volume. So its operation is not that actual in the disk, it's in the memory. It's really fast. An extensive use of bitmaps is done here, so it's extremely fast. It's written in Golang, it's open source. Okay, so in the left part, is the original implementation. The user has a block device, TKT daemon. In the server, here is the old communication implementation. And right here, sparse file storage and file system goes through the SSD. In our implementation, we used a UBLK block device, communicating with a UBD SRV daemon, communicating with a frontend. Here the controller has a different approach. And here the DBS storage is implemented. So using the whole Longhorn engine, you can see you have 50k read and 25k write. And okay, in the first layer here, we did a no op operation for this part of the system. So in this experiment, only the frontend is used. Up to the frontend, Longhorn can, not Longhorn actually, iSCSI TKT can hold up to 60k IOPS. But UBLK can go up to 500k IOPS. As you can see, the frontend, the UBLK frontend has way more capabilities compared to iSCSI TKT. Okay, so now, because I think it's kind of complicated, for this metric, we replaced the frontend part and we still used the old communication protocol. But we also didn't do the actual I.O. We stopped the data path I.O. here and no op is done. So here, we see we leverage some of the IOPS from the UBLK, but we're still at 100k IOPS. Replacing the old communication method with our new communication, we go up to 200k IOPS. And now, using the Linux sparse file implementation and their custom implementation, you drop back to 128k IOPS read and 38k IOPS write. And DBS, introducing DBS in this implementation, goes the system to 150k IOPS. So, as you can see, we can triple the performance of the system using three major changes. Okay, so in conclusion, UBLK has the biggest impact in accelerating I.O. It's a new technology using state-of-the-art solution for doing I/O. So the question is NVMUF necessary? When you are not using over-the-network operations, it's actually not that useful. I mean, UBLK has the capabilities to outperform it in some situations. Second, you can do further performance improvements, especially in the controller. As you can see, the performance dropped massively inside the controller. We are working on optimization and adding more features. And in the last part, DBS is actually not that novel, but provide a helpful utility for other projects too. Okay, so some pull requests have been submitted. DBS and other projects can be found at GitHub of Carve ICS 4. You can also find the code of the modified code of Longhorn there. I want to acknowledge Rebecca for founding this job. Thank you. Many questions?
You said about, I don't know Longhorn very well, but you said a polyene is served by one controller and then a number of replicas.
Yes.
That's to support high availability, is it? So failover or something?
What, high availability? Failure? Yes. All that is done by the manager. Mm-hmm. Longhorn is...
No, that's big.
Ah, okay. Can you say the question for me to repeat? Yes.
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, I'm waiting for
to... You have to repeat for the microphone.
I get it, but I don't remember the whole question.
Do you see the same performance improvements when you're using distributed...
Multiple replicas.
Multiple replicas.
Okay. So the question is, if using multiple replicas have the same effect, our changes have the same effect using multiple replicas. Okay. We haven't... use multiple replicas. The only bottleneck using multiple replicas is the network. Using a bigger, a better connection in the network, it's not the bottleneck anymore. So yeah, it will have the same effects.
Thank you.
But we haven't done any actual, we don't have the actual numbers for that. Any other question? Yes?
Are these performance improvements of considering the V2 data engine of Longhorn?
What there? What?
The version 2 data engine.
Ah. You asked me about compared to version 2? How it's compared with?
The old V1 data engine of Longhorn where you achieve.
Okay, the question is if this is the version 1 or the version 2 of Longhorn, right? Yeah, this is the version 1. The version 2 of Longhorn will use SPDK, NVMUOF. In GitHub, I can see the issues and they want to improve version 1 2, so that's why we focus on the version 1 2. Version 2 with SPDK and NVMUOF will solve the problem of the front end, but most of the other parts are not up to date. I mean, the communication between the controller and the replica is not part of the improvement in version 2. And also, they will still use the Linux parse file in the end. So there is also a need to improve the version 1. But version 2 is really good. Yes?
With NVM over fiber, do you mean NVM over TCP?
I think that's configurable. Ah, sorry. You asked me if NVMUOF is over TCP?
You know MayaStore, right?
MayaStore, no.
MayaStore is from OpenEBS.
MayaStore uses
over TCP.
Okay. I think when you have on-prem, you don't have, when you have the controller on the same node, you don't need to use TCP, you can use Unix sockets to do the... I'm not sure, I'm not familiar with MyStore and their implementation. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.